This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد Once again, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everybody. Today I'm going to share with you some things that will help you get to know Surah Al-Mulk, the 67th Surah of the Quran, a very beautiful Surah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commented about multiple times. So before I give you an overview of the subject matter of the surah, I'd like to share with you some of those comments by our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are all from authenticated narrations. Inna surata min kitabillahi ma hiya illa 30 aya shafa'at li rajul fa akhrajathu min an-nar wa adkhalathu al-jannah. There's a surah from Allah's book, it is nothing but 30 ayat, this one, that makes a case on behalf of a person. It intercedes on behalf of a person and gets him out of the fire and gets him entered into heaven. إِنَّ سُورَةً مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ 30 آيَةً شَفَعَتْ لِرَجُلْ حَتَّى غُفِرَ لَهُ. There's certainly a remarkable surah from the Qur'an, 30 ayahs worth, that intercedes on behalf of a person until it gets forgiveness granted to him. وَهِيَ سُورَةُ تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. And it is the surah that begins with تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. How blessed and how incredibly stable is the one in whose hand all kingdom and all dominion lies. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان لا ينام حتى يقرأ ألم تنزيل ألف لام ميم تنزيل وتبارك الذي بيده الملك. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not used to go to sleep until he recited ألف لام ميم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم and also تبارك الذي بيده الملك, meaning this surah was part of his regular daily practice. Then the Prophet ﷺ also said, narrated by Anas, Suratun min al-Qur'an, khasamat an sahibiha hatta adkhalathu al-jannah. A surah from the Qur'an that makes a case and argues on behalf of its companion until it gets him into Jannah, tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. And then of course the final one that is narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Suratul Tabarak hiya al-mani'atu min adhab al-qabr. The Surah Tabarak, this surah, is a prevention from the punishment of the fire. It prevents the companion of it, the reciter of it, the one loyal to it, the one who befriended it in his recitation and her recitation from the punishment of the fire. May Allah protect all of us from the punishment, actually punishment of the grave particularly. This surah is very unique for many reasons. It's got six sections from the way I've been able to divide the subject matter. The first of them is actually a demonstration of Allah's power. تبارك الذي بيده الملك, the one who has all kingdom and dominion in his hand and is capable of all things. A really truly remarkable collections of themes and subject matter. I was honored to actually engage in a deep study of this surah and present an exhaustive lecture on this surah, and I'm hoping inshallah ta'ala some of you that have the time will take advantage of that study that I've done. But I want to highlight some things from that first passage to you for now. A unique statement, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life. He didn't say life and death. He said the one who created death and life, so he may test you. Which has been thought about a lot by Mufassirun. Why did he mention death first? But the most obvious of the meanings is actually he's referring to our death. And thereafter, life again. And then he created that afterlife so that he can test you. In other words, if there was no afterlife, then what's the point of this life? If we're not going to be resurrected again, then this life is not a test. It's just do whatever you can, grab whatever you can, eat and sleep, and have whatever fun you can, and you know, before you check out of here, because there are no consequences beyond this life, right? But he says the only reason you will see life as a test is if you realize there's a life coming after this one. Which means that's the life of results. This is the life of a test. Just like you're sitting in an exam. When you're sitting in an exam, there's limited time and you got to do what you can do. And then there are going to be consequences that you will see whether you passed or failed after the exam is over. So this life is that exam period. And then thereafter we come out. It's interesting that in that first passage, Allah compares death and life and the continuity. Like we think of death as like the end of our life. Allah doesn't want us to think of it like that. So that's why he actually, in the very next ayah, gives us a parallel for death and life and how continuous they are, and says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. The one who created the skies and the earth into layers that are fused with one another, and you can't find any crack or any flaw or any gap in between any of them. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ. Look at it again, over and over again. Contemplate and see how seamless and continuous the seven skies are. The word tibaq, which is used to describe the levels and the continuity of the skies, and how consistent they are with each other, is also a variation of that word is used elsewhere in the Quran to actually describe the phases of our life and how we journey from the wombs of our mothers out into from youth to old age, to death, to the grave, to come out of the grave. Allah says, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ, same word again, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So that's the kind of the essential message of the first passage, is that Allah's great power and His power to give you life after death. That's the overall scheme. Then what Allah does in the next ayah, or the next rather passage, a rather long passage, I'll tell you something beautiful about that passage. It opens with Allah describing how He beautified the sky, and long passage closes with how He made the earth vast. So sky and earth are at the two ends of this second passage. And in the middle is an exhaustive discussion of what's going to happen after we are raised, after we die, meaning those who disbelieved, عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. You know, they're going to have the punishment of hell, and what a terrible place that is. And then the first time they hear the roaring of the hellfire, سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا, every time they're being pushed in it, the warners of hell are going to be saying, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ, the guardians of hell are going to say, didn't a warner come to you? They're going to admit, جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا, a warner did come, but we called them a liar. وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, and we used to say, Allah didn't send anything. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ, all of you are just totally confused. We completely disregarded those who gave us warning, and then they show their regret. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ, if we had only listened, if we had only thought about things and understood things, we wouldn't be among the people that are being, you know, thrown in flames, in scorching flames today. Then on the flip side, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ, those who are actually afraid of their master, they will have great compensation and huge reward, and forgiveness and huge reward. So that's the contrast between, you know, the believer and the disbeliever in the afterlife. And that's interesting, right? So in the first passage he said He has the power to give you life, death and life. And let me tell you what that next life looks like. And he paints it all, and he puts that between, on the one hand, how powerfully He created the sky and how it seamlessly, how seamlessly He made the earth. Once again, comparing the skies and the earth and Allah's power to create with life and death. From there, you get to the third and final passage of the first half. The surah, really, you can divide it into two halves. Three passages make up the first half. Three quick passages make up the second half. So when you get to this first half, Allah says, well, let's not wait till the afterlife. You feel safe that you're not going to get punished in this world? أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ, you know, أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ. You know, so he'll, over and over again, he'll ask rhetorical questions, two and then two rhetorical questions, saying, how safe do you feel that Allah won't attack you right now, that you won't get buried into the earth? How safe do you feel that Allah won't stop, he'll just stop sending you water from the sky? What are you going to do then? How, is this really the army you have that you're going to use to stand up against God? Is this the army you have that's going to provide for you? يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ بَلْ لَجُّ فِي عُتُوٍ وَنُفُورٍ. You know? If he were to withhold his provision, what are they going to do? Then Allah gives his diagnosis, says, بَلَّجُّ فِي عُتُوٍ وَنُفُورٍ. They are just, you know, they're stubborn in their animosity and their resilience against Allah, and in their arrogance and in their hatred, وَنُفُورٍ. أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. The imagery of the skies and the earth repeats itself, is the one who walks with his face heading towards the ground, his face rubbing in the ground. Is this person more guided, or someone who walks upright? In other words, your view is only of earthly things, and you don't think of a reality that comes from the skies. The angels that descend from the sky and take your soul, you don't think about that. You don't think about any heavenly reality. But who do you think is more upright? The images of someone walking, dragging themselves on the ground, and someone walking upright. أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So that would be the first half of the surah. In the second half of the surah, you have a series, again, three short passages, and all of them are dominated by what the Prophet should say to them. So in the first part of this passage, Allah is all powerful, and you know, the description of the afterlife. And by the way, don't just be threatened by the afterlife. You could get Allah's wrath coming to you your way in this life as well. That's the point. This wa'id, this threat from Allah, this warning from Allah has been given. Then on the next part, it's just the Prophet being told, you tell them. As though Allah is so angry at them, now Allah is just telling His Prophet to speak to them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell them, first of all, that they're ungrateful. أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَالَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. You're so ungrateful, He's given you hearing, seeing. He's given you hearts, but you're so little you show gratitude. And He's the one who spreads you out in the land, and He's going to be the one to bring you back again. That's one. Just tell them this. No need to convince them of it. Just let them know these are the facts. This is what's going to happen with you. They respond, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. They're tired of hearing this argument about this judgment day coming and resurrection and nation being destroyed and punishment coming from the sky or the earth swallowing us up. So they just come out and say, when is this promise going to be fulfilled? Let's see it. If you're telling the truth, if all of you prophet and your followers, if you're actually telling the truth, let's see it happen. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And then you just respond to them, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. Just tell them, now that knowledge belongs with God. It belongs with Allah. I'm just here to warn you. And by the way, they will believe. But when will they believe? فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً. When they see it come out in its full glory. سِيَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Faces of those who disbelieved are going to be just full of a horrible mood. They're going to be made ugly. Deformed faces. The idea is you look at something and you're disgusted. That's si'a. That's what they're going to look like. They're going to have this horrible expression on their face when it actually manifests. And then finally, the last passage of this surah actually concludes where everything began. Life and death and life belongs in Allah's hands, even the death and the life of the Prophet himself. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُ مِنْ أَهْلَكَنِي أَلَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا. Tell them, what do you think if Allah was to even kill me or those that are with me or show us mercy? Who's gonna protect disbelievers from painful punishment? Whether we die or not, how does that solve your problem? You know, if you're wishing that because they wish the Prophet would die, that's actually what they wished. And the Prophet is being told, you can wish for my death, and Allah controls my death, and I'll die, but that doesn't solve your problem. And then he goes on to say, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنِ. He's the incredibly, unbelievably merciful, overwhelmingly merciful and loving. We've believed in Him, and we've put our trust in Him. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. You're going to soon find out who's actually in obvious confusion. And it's as Allah says this, on a side note, the unique quality of the surah, I'll tell you one of the coolest things about the surah, the last statement. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُ مِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Tell them, what do you think if your water was to just get absorbed into the ground? فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Who's going to bring you water that's clear and fresh? Who's going to bring you springs of water? When Allah mentions this at the end, it's actually a reference going back to the first ayah of the surah. The one who owns all dominion and all kingdom. A king is known by his throne, and his throne is in water, is upon water. عَرْشُهُ كَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. His throne was placed upon water. And the sign of Allah's divinity is actually the rain that He sends down. It's actually a glimpse of His arsh, droplets of His arsh that are being brought upon us when Allah sends water to us. So Allah says, if this king stops giving you even some small droplets of His kingdom, this water, what's going to happen to you? Why are you so arrogant? So we're reminded of Allah's dominion and His kingdom by the end of the surah. A unique lesson in the surah that I find very beautiful is in that statement when the Prophet ﷺ said, if Allah were to kill me and those who are with me, and then the contrast is not if Allah were to kill me or let me live. It's rather if Allah were to kill me and my followers or show us mercy and love. And you know what that means? This life is a manifestation of Allah's love and mercy. This life is not a curse. This life is not a punishment. None of us that are alive today, that are breathing, that have the ability to enjoy life, are actually here as a punishment. This life, by definition, is actually an act of Allah's loving care and mercy. None of us should think of this life as a curse. for the people who are cursed, and Allah wants them to be in hellfire, and their fate is sealed, and they have no hopes anymore. There's no reason for Allah to keep them breathing. There isn't. If there's hope for you, Allah is keeping you alive. There's hope for you. You can still make tawbah so long as you're breathing. And there's still a room for you to enjoy the mercy and love of Allah in this life. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who earn His love, care and mercy in this life and do so again in the next one. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.